Chapter 12. Nor to first thoughts, however good, hold itself true. Something binds hard the royal hand, as all that be, and it is that is shaped, as planned by acts and me. May 1910. The coronation, at Westminster, hid from the light of day many who once had shone as monarchs lay. Edward the Pious, and two Edwards more, the second Richard, Henry's three or four, that is to say, those who were called the third, fifth, seventh, and eighth, the much self-widowered, and James the Scot, and near him Charles the Second, and to the second George could there be reckoned. Of women, Mary, and Queen Elizabeth, and Anne, all silent in a musing death, and William's Mary, and Mary, Queen of Scots, and consort queens whose names oblivion blots, and several more whose chronicle one sees adorning ancient royal pedigrees. Now, as they drowsed on, freed from life's old thrall, and heedless, save of things exceptional, said one, "That means this throbbing thudding sound that reaches to us here from over ground. A sound of chisels, augers, planes, and saws, infringing all ecclesiastic laws? And these tons weight of timber on us pressed, unfelt here since we entered into rest? Surely, at least to us, being corpses royal, a meet repose is owing by the loyal? Perhaps a scaffold." Mary Stuart sighed, "If such still be, it was that way I died. Odds. Far more like, said he, the many-wived, that for a wedding 'tis this works contrived. Ha ha! I never would bow down to Rimmon, but I had a rare time with those six women. Not all at once," gasped he who loved confession. "Nay, nay," said Hal, "that would have been transgression. They build a catafalque here, black and tall, perhaps," mused Richard, "for some funeral?" And Anne chimed in, "H, yes, it may be so." "Nay," squeaked Eliza, "it'll you seem to know, clearly 'tis for some crowning here in state, as they crowned us at our long bygone date. Though we'd no such a power of carpentry, but let the ancient architecture be. If I were up there where the parson sit, in one of my gold robes, I'd see to it. But you are not," Charles chuckled, "who are here, and never will know the sun again, my dear." "Yea," whispered those whom no one had addressed, "with slow sad march, amid a folk distressed, we were brought here, to take our mouldy rest. And here, alas, in darkness laid below, we'll wait and listen, and endure the show. Dot dot clamor dog's kingship, afterwards not so." 1911. Aqua Sulis, the chimes called midnight, just at interloon, and the daytime talk of the Roman investigations was checked by silence, save for the husky tune the bubbling waters played near the excavations. And a warm air came up from underground, and a flutter, as of a filmy shape unsepulchred, that collected itself, and waited, and looked around. Nothing was seen, but utterances could be heard. Those of the goddess whose shrine was beneath the pile of the god with the baldachined altar overhead. "And what did you get, by raising this nave and aisle close on the site of the temple I tenanted? The notes of your organ have thrilled down out of view to the earth-clogged wrecks of my edifice many a year, though stately and shining once a long ere you had set up crucifix and candle here. Your priests have trampled the dust of mine without rueing, despising the joys of man whom I so much loved, though my springs boil on by your gothic arcades and pewing, and sculptures crude. Dot dot would Jove they could be removed. Repress, O lady proud, your traditional lyres. You know not by what a frail thread we equally hang. It is said we are images both twitched by people's desires, and that I, like you, fail as a song men yesterday sang. And the old and dark hid the cavities late laid bare, and all was suspended and soundless as before, except for a gossamery noise fading off in the air, and the boiling voice of the water's medicinal pour. Bath. 74 and 20, here goes a man of 74, who sees not what life means for him, and here another in years a score who reads its very figure and trim. The one who shall walk today with me is not the youth who gazes far, but the breezy wight who cannot see what earth's ingrained conditions are. The elopement, a woman never agreed to it, said my knowing friend to me. That one thing she'd refuse to do for Solomon's mines in fee. No woman ever will make herself look older than she is. I did not answer, but I thought, you there, ancient quiz. It took a rare one, true, to do it, for she was surely rare as rare a soul at that sweet time of her life as she was fair. And urging motives too, were strong, for ours was a passionate case, yea, passionate enough to lead to freaking with that young face. I have told no one about it, should perhaps make few believe, but I think it over now that life looms dull and years bereave. How blank we stood at our bright wit's end, two frail barks in distress, how self-regard in her was slain by her large tenderness. I said, he only chance for us in a crisis of this kind is going it thorough. S, she calmly breathed. L, I don't mind. And we blanched her dark locks ruthlessly. Set wrinkles on her brow. A, she was a right rare woman then, whatever she may be now. That night we heard a coach drive up, and questions asked below. A gent with an elderly wife, sir, was returned from the bureau. And the wheels went rattling on, and free at last from public ken we washed all off in her chamber and restored her youth again. How many years ago it was? Some 50 can it be since that adventure held us, and she played old wife to me? But in time convention won her, as it wins all women at last, and now she is rich and respectable, and time has buried the past. I rose up as my custom is on the eve of All Souls' Day, and left my grave for an hour or so, to call on those I used to know, before I passed away. I visited my former love as she lay by her husband's side. I asked her, if life pleased her, now she was rid of a poet wrung-in brow, and crazed with the ills he eyed, who used to drag her here and there wherever his fancies led, and point out pale phantasmal things, and talk of vain vague purposings that she discredited. She was quite civil, and replied, L.D. comrade, is that you? Well, on the whole, I like my life. I know I swore I'd be no wife, but what was I to do? You see, of all men for my sex a poet is the worst. Women are practical, and they crave the wherewith to pay their way, and slake their social thirst. You were a poet quite the ideal, that we all love a while. But look at this man snoring here, he's no romantic chanticleer, yet keeps me in good style. He makes no quest into my thoughts, but a poet wants to know what one has felt from earliest days, why one thought not in other ways, and one's loves of long ago. Her words venomed my fond frail ghost, the nightmares neighed from their stalls, the vampires screeched, the harpies flew, and under the dim dawn I withdrew to death's inviolate halls. A week, on Monday night I closed my door, and thought you were not as heretofore, and little cared, if we met no more. I seemed on Tuesday night, to trace something beyond mere commonplace in your ideas, and heart, and face. On Wednesday I did not opine your life would ever be one with mine, though if it were we should well combine. On Thursday noon I liked you well, and fondly felt, that we must dwell not far apart, whatever befell. On Friday it was with a thrill, and gazing towards your distant ville I owned you were my dear one still. I saw you wholly to my mind on Saturday even one who shrined all that was best of womankind. As wing-clipped seagull for the sea on Sunday night I longed for thee, without whom life were waste to me. Had you wept, had you but neared me with a frail uncertain ray, dewy as the face of the dawn, in your large and luminous eye, then would have come back all the joys the tidings had slain that day, and a new beginning, a fresh fair heaven, have smoothed the things awry. But you were less feebly human, and no passionate need for clinging possessed your soul, to overthrow reserve when I came near. Eh, though you suffer as much as I from storms the hours are bringing upon your heart and mine, I never see you shed a tear. The deep strong woman is weakest, the weak one is the strong, the weapon of all weapons best for winning, you have not used. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.